And we are back for the Oscar Rewind podcast, where we go back in time to a year for the Oscars and break down all of the Best Picture nominated films of that year. The last 2 years that we discussed were the 2011 Oscars and the 2045 Oscars. Andrew said, no, I'm picking this year. And we ended up getting the 1990 Oscars, as we discussed the five nominated 1989 films. Andrea, I have my co-host here, who wasn't born on the 4th of July, but was born ready to discuss these films. Andrea Tennis, how are you doing this week?
Doing well. Not a lot going on. Just finishing up school. I will be happy when it's done. And yeah, I have nothing else going on in life.
This is the first segment of the 1990 Oscar podcast here. And we just watched the first two films for this year, Field of Dreams and Born on the 4th of July. So Andrew, we just watched two of the five already. Already almost halfway there. What are your thoughts on these films compared to the last 2 years we've discussed?
I really liked Field of Dreams, Born on the 4th of July. Not as much. It's definitely a war / political towards the end, and neither of them are really up my alley.
Yeah, I would probably definitely agree with you that Born on the 4th of July is a bottom tier if you had to break all the films we've discussed so far. Film for me. Field of Dreams, it definitely wasn't as high on. I think that's more mid-tier. It's fine. I liked it. I liked parts of it. We'll break them both down here today. So the first film we'll discuss is, of course, Field of Dreams, since that's the first one we ended up watching. And it's shocking to me that it was nominated for Best Picture, not because of the film itself. I prefer this film over Born on the 4th of July, but just on its nominations alone. It was only nominated for Best Picture, obviously, Score, and Adapted Screenplay. It only got three nominations of all the awards here. There were films on there. There was films that were nominated more times than this one and didn't get Best Picture. So it is a weird nomination. I guess they just really liked the screenplay and score.
Yeah, perhaps. I liked it way more than Born on the 4th of July, but this film is also kind of close to my heart because my grandparents both really like this film, and growing up, we watched it a lot. I guess it's one reason I decided to pick this year, so.
Yeah, this film, I didn't grow up with it at all. And I would actually say both of these films are very American. They're very baseball, flying flag in the air, super nice white people. Like, it's a very pro-America year so far. And I've also seen Driving Miss Daisy, and that's also very, like, American. So I'm curious if the other two are like that, too. Maybe 1989 was just the year that America was like, yeah, we're fucking awesome. We like ourselves. We're great.
They had a boast. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They just felt really good about themselves. Maybe, like, some big event happened that year, and they were just like, yeah, America's awesome. We're pretty great, aren't we? Fuck yeah. You know what? I like seeing the flag in my movies. I'm going to nominate them all. Yeah, maybe they're just really high on America because they're all very American, which I like America. I'm engaged to an American, so clearly I like America. It's not a con. It's just something that I find interesting because there's a lot of great films that came out that year that didn't get nominated, but I just felt like they weren't American enough. They were very into America that year. So, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being into America.
There's not. If the Academy was a bunch of Canadians, I'm sure we'd get a lot more nominees for, I don't know, films about mooses or something. I don't know. You know, it's definitely just the demographic. The Academy's American, so fuck yeah. They're going to like America. You know, makes sense to me. So for the Field of Dreams, very American, it is about a man who owns a farmland, and he starts hearing the voices of Shoeless Joe. Is that his name?
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Okay, I forgot his last name, but yes, Shoeless Joe Jackson. And he starts hearing his voices in the field. and it's telling him that he's got to build a baseball diamond in this field of corn. And so he plows all the corn, he builds a beautiful looking baseball field, might I add. I'm sure Shoeless Joe would have been fine with any baseball field that he could play on, but our lead really went all out for the field here, because it's a gorgeous baseball diamond. And then we end up seeing Shoeless Joe and his team, who were all banned and kicked out of playing baseball because some of them were caught placing bets against their team, and it was kind of rigging their team.
They were trying to throw the game, and they got in trouble.
Yeah, so they all got kicked out, and so they all got the chance to play again, even though they're all dead. So definitely not the kind of film I thought this was going to be. And aside from like the very pro-American, and also the lead is just a well-known actor, aside from that, it doesn't feel like an Oscar film. I feel like Oscar voters aren't really the guys that are like, yeah, we like ghosts. We like, I don't know. I guess mostly just ghosts. Normally, anything that has to do with like paranormal stuff, I don't really associate with the Oscars. But, they liked this film.
I mean, hey, you can't blame them. It was good.
Surprisingly, I thought the best part of the film was the first 40 minutes where they're just playing baseball and he's building this baseball ring. And I thought the concept of Shoeless Joe coming back and the team getting their last chance to play again and only the family is able to see them, I thought all that was very interesting. So I really liked the first 40 minutes, which is surprising because I don't like sports. But the part I liked about the film was the sports.
The sports part, yeah.
I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was good. So,
well.
Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting how the lead's wife's brother is trying to like buy the land from them and he's unable to see the ghost. I thought that was fun because he kind of thought everyone was crazy there.
Yeah, no, he really did. And could he not see the ghost because, I don't know, he didn't believe? Or like, did we ever really find out why he couldn't see the ghost?
Yeah, it has to be something like Santa Claus where if you seeing is believing. Believing isn't seeing. You know that line from the film Santa Claus. They don't explain it in this film, but I'm assuming that's it because that's the only explanation we ever got. Because, yeah, if you don't believe they're there, then you don't see it. But, yeah, see, honestly, it doesn't make any sense because the wife didn't believe it until she saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's no logic. I almost talked myself into it, but no. They don't explain that. I wish they did.
Yeah, I wish that was just a little bit more clear in this film because, I don't know, maybe I would have understood it a little bit better. But when I was little, I never questioned it. I was like, oh, that's so cool. They can see these ghosts playing baseball.
It is cool. No, I liked it, yeah.
But then when you go back and you look at something years and years later, you're like, oh, wow, that literally has no logic in what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I think this film does miss a lot of logic. That's just one of them. But I thought, I was digging the first 40 minutes. I liked the baseball thing. And then we get the reveal that him building this baseball diamond, which is gorgeous, there's a reason why it's so gorgeous. He spent all of their money on making this diamond. He was really wanting to impress Shoeless Joe here because now the family is in debt and they need to sell the farmland, including the diamond, to his wife's brother. If not, they're not going to have any money. So that's kind of where the storyline is going. And you go, oh, wow. Okay, this is interesting. How is he going to make money off this diamond? How is this going to connect in some way? And it doesn't. He then hears another story that he now needs to find a former writer for a newspaper company. He now needs to find a journalist who wrote a story about wanting to see a game. And then that becomes like the new storyline. It's like a bunch of mini episodes of him talking to ghosts. And then they all kind of get sewn together. Because, yeah, the first 40 minutes is the awesome baseball storyline. And then it's like a road trip to finding this journalist who doesn't believe him. And then it's about him and the journalist and this buddy duo on a road trip together. And then like the last 20 minutes, they kind of try and tie all three storylines together. But it doesn't really work. So I really like the first 40 minutes. What was your thoughts on the journalist storyline? As soon as it took this completely different turn, I didn't like it, but I thought you still enjoyed it. Did you like the journalist?
I mean, he was fine. I honestly didn't really understand how it tied all together. I don't really understand why they needed the journalist at the end to go back with the ghosts either. A lot of it didn't really make sense, but I liked when they decided they were going to go on the road trip together, and then they have to go, but they have to go find this guy that only played one game for one inning, and that storyline was kind of weird too. I didn't really understand how that was put together, because then you see him at the end and he realizes once he steps over the line, he's gonna become a ghost again. Or he can't stay and play baseball, sorry. But then he saves a little girl's life, so.
Yeah, we're gonna have to try and piece this all together, because I'm very confused on how this all works out too. But he finds the journalist, and the journalist thinks this guy is crazy, as everyone does. Because, you know, the guy is a little crazy, but, you know, instead of just calling security or just locking his door, he's like, fine, you keep entering my house and I don't own a lock. So if I go to this game with you, will you leave me alone? And he's like, yeah, oh, sure, yeah, yeah. So the journalist actually goes to this game with him. He goes with this crazy guy to the game. Then the two of them are watching this game. It's mind-boggling because he's like hating it, but also he's liking it. Like, I feel like the journalist doesn't know what he wants. Like, one minute he's like, you dragged me out here, this is the worst. And then the next minute he's like, oh, this is really fun. This is a really good game. Like, he doesn't know what he wants. This journalist is almost as crazy as our lead character here. He's kind of out of it. And then
he was also just totally fine with him kidnapping him too. He's yeah. like, you're kidnapping me? And he's like, okay. And yeah. I'm kind of like, wow, if you really didn't want to go with the guy, you should have called the police or done something to stop this dude.
Yeah, exactly. It really doesn't make any sense. He's like, you're kidnapping me? Oh, you are? Okay, cool. So, you know, just wanted to check. Just want to clarify what you were doing. But now that you are and I'm aware of it, it's all G, man. Sounds good to me. So he's getting kidnapped and they go to the game. And then on the scoreboard, it says that they need to find this other guy on a road trip now. The journalist pretends he doesn't see it the entire time. And then then the lead guy's like, okay, clearly I'm going crazy. I'm leaving. So he's driving away. And right before he drives away, the journalist is like, actually, gotcha. I did see it. I was just messing with you for the last few hours. I did see that sign, actually. So I'm with you now.
I don't know why he was messing with him, though. That part didn't make sense to me either. Like, why are you going to mess with the guy? Like, if you clearly, saw it, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, no, I definitely saw that as well. We probably could have cut a little bit of time there in the film if he just would have been like, yeah, I totally saw that.
Yeah, I think they just really had a cool edit in their mind where the camera turns around with the car and then we see the guy and he's like, I did see it, because it was a cool camera shot. That was purely it. The logic was thrown out the window. They just thought they saw a cool shot here and they're like, all right, we got a cool shot here, let's do it.
Or maybe he actually changed his mind. Like, at first he didn't want to go on this cool road trip, but then he decided that, oh, this guy that kidnaps me was kind of cool, so yeah. I don't have anything to do, so I'll just go with.
Yeah. So that's the end of the second segment. Then we get to the third segment where we find this old guy who is now a doctor who passed away recently, who used to be a baseball player that always wanted to play. And so our lead character is like, hey, I now have a baseball ring where ghosts play and you can play as a child. Like, you should totally come to this thing, man. It's real lit. It's like a baseball diamond. You can play with my homies, Shoeless Joe. And the ghost's like, all right, cool, I'll take along. And then they drive back to the diamond ring. We got the lead guy, made the diamond. That's the first segment. We cleared that. We got the journalist, who I thought, because he's a well-known journalist, he doesn't own a lock, but I assume because he is supposed to have a lot of money, he was the one that would see all the ghosts and go, this is something special. This is something that I've never seen before. We have dead baseball players playing again. People will love this. This is my dream. I've always wanted to see these guys play. I will pay. Like, I will give you the money so you're not in debt. I will save this land for you. Like, I thought he was going to jump out and throw all this money to save the farm.
You know, I kind of thought that too. Like, I thought growing up, that's what I remembered, is that guy came back, saved the day, but then he left with all the other ghosts in the cornfield.
Yeah.
That is not what happened.
Yeah, the journalist didn't do anything. The journalist is like, oh, you're still in debt? Well, sucks to suck. I'm going to save my money to buy a lock next time somebody tries to kidnap me. Like, he did not care about this guy's debt at all. So I don't know what the second part of the story was for, because it does not conclude at all at the end. And then, yeah, the old guy who used to be a baseball player, so he played baseball for one inning, and then the little girl falls off the bleacher, which it's a very small bleacher. It's like three sitting spots. Like, she probably fell like 2 feet.
Yeah, but also her uncle is just upset and he knocks her off of it. That's what kind of blew my mind. I was like, wow, they just had him knock her off. He just shook her real hard and like pushed her, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll get to the uncle soon because this guy's ending is wild, but he knocks her off. She falls 2 feet and she's basically dying now because I guess her body sucks. And then the doctor...
She was choking on a hot dog. Oh, something.
Yeah, that's right.
Something was in her throat.
That's right. Yeah, it was only 2 feet, but it was enough to like get the wiener in her mouth stuck in her throat. So then the baseball player slash doctor gave up his chance to be a baseball player again, stepped through the ring and turned back into a ghost doctor and then saved her. And then I thought, I don't know, no ghost could pass the baseball diamond except for this guy. This guy had some special ability, but then he couldn't go back to turning into a kid. They really changed the rules here.
No, I thought, well, what I thought it was they didn't want to, all the ghost baseball players didn't want to step over the line because if so, that would happen to them too.
They turn old?
Yeah.
But they just be an old ghost, right?
Yeah, yeah, and they just didn't want to do that, I guess.
Okay, so he's the only one that did do that, and now he's an old fart. Doesn't really do anything for the rest of the film. He kind of just walks away, right? He literally saves the girl, and then he's just like, all right, peace out, guys.
I have to get home to my wife. Yeah, that's what he kept saying.
He's like, I'm an old ghost now, so I guess I'm just going to go wander around the streets. So he leaves, and then this is where we get to the villain, all right? So the wife's brother, the uncle of this daughter, This guy really is the big bad guy. He wants to buy the farm, and he's going to get rid of the diamond and plant corn again because he really likes corn. And he's like, screw baseball. Corn is the way to go. So he's this evil mastermind that's going to rebuild corn. And so we're supposed to hate this guy. He is very aggressive. Like, as soon as the guy leaves to go find the journalist, the guy's like, ah, screw you, dude. I'm going to buy this farm. Like, he's very intimidating, I guess. And so the whole film, he's ready to, he's like, you guys can't afford it. By the end of this morning, I will now own this farm. And then he knocks the girl over. They save the girl. And then he just decides, you know what? For absolutely no reason whatsoever, I decide that I don't really want it anymore. So, yeah, I'm just going to leave now. And they just walked and left. They didn't have the money. He could have gotten the farm. He just randomly decided, you know what, this is a lot of work, guys.
Well,
I don't like corn that much. I'm done.
Once he saw the baseball players, he was like, whatever you do, don't sell this place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was even worse. Yeah, so he magically got the ability to see them now, which, once again, they don't explain how you can or can't see them. But, yeah, he immediately was able to get the ability to see them, even though he didn't see them this whole film. And, yeah, he finally gets the ability to see them. He looks at them and he goes, that is it. I wanted corn, but dead baseball players are way cooler. You will never sell this place. Absolutely never, ever give up this farm. This is awesome. Screw corn. Like, he was, he flipped on a dime. This bro was like, I will grow. I will be the king of corn. Fuck baseball diamonds. And then within a minute, he is like, bro, this diamond is lit, bro. Don't ever get rid of this. This is awesome. Yeah, he flipped immediately. Yeah. Forgot that he was like very pro baseball diamonds within like a second. Yeah.
And then we get to the end, which is basically what they set the entire story lineup to do. And I guess we didn't mention this in the beginning, but the guy that made the baseball field, him and his father didn't have really that great of a relationship. And when he died, he said some really mean things to him right before he passed away. And then at the end, we find out that he used to play baseball. And then he ends up being the catcher. Yeah.
Yeah, so it ends with them playing. He plays catch with his dead father, who is now a ghost in the diamond, which is a very cute scene. I'm telling you right now, if they just kept the whole film with this diamond and him just trying to figure out how to make money off of this and just keeping it to the Field of Dreams, it would have been a great film. I really liked the first 40 minutes. And yeah, the last 10 minutes, aside from the bad guy's heel turn, was really fun. I really liked him playing ball with his father. That was a great callback and it was really fun. I liked that. No, so overall, it's hard because I really liked the beginning. I really liked the end. And then that middle section, I didn't like any of it. It didn't make any sense. It didn't connect in any way. I'm shocked it got nominated for screenplay because overall, I think the screenplay was horrible. The middle part, I don't get it. But once again, great callback with the father playing ball. You get it instantly. It's a satisfying ending. So, like, some parts of the script were good. I just feel like it was very clumpy at times. But I like it.
Yeah, I know. I know. I definitely teared up at the end. Other than that, there weren't any waterworks or anything like that. But the end left me satisfied. And I think that's probably what the Oscar people, like, liked about it. I don't know. Maybe it made you feel good at the end and that's why.
Yeah, Oscar voters love feel-good films, which we will definitely discuss when we discuss the Best Picture winner. Because that the only reason why it won is because it's just a feel-good film, which is fair. I like feeling good at the end of a movie, and even though I had so many flaws with this film, Field of Dreams, I left it with a smile on my face. I thought that ending was very sweet. I liked it, and I almost kind of forgot about all the horrible side storylines, because afterwards I was just like, you know what, that was a cute moment. I liked it.
Definitely. Yeah, it, like I said, left me satisfied. I felt good. Like, it also reminds me of my grandparents, so yeah.
Yep. And I do think it's funny that the two nominations it got, I think, are the two it doesn't deserve. I don't think the screenplay is that strong. And then the score, do you remember? It's hilarious.
The score, you literally hated it.
Because the sweetest moment that we were, the best moment of the film, the one that we were just talking about, where they're playing ball and they were talking to each other. They were saying something about, like, oh, hi, dad, or they were saying something. But I could not tell you for the life of you what they said because the score was so loud. I don't know what they said. I don't know what dialogue happened at the end. I couldn't even hear the script. All I heard was this loud, sad music that's supposed to make me emotional, but I was like, gosh, turn this down. I'm trying to, like, listen to this great moment. Yeah,
you hated it. You were like, this is so loud, it's giving me a headache, why would they do this?
Yeah,
and it was bad. I didn't find it as bothersome as Quentin did, but it wasn't good. So for it to get nominated for something, that was quite odd.
Yeah, I remember Andrew was tearing up after the film because of that great ending. And I looked at her and I was like, yeah, I'm sure this was emotional. If I knew what they were saying, I don't know. All right, so the second film that we watched, the one that Andrew really liked here.
Woo!
Born on the 4th of July, which even the name alone, you know this is going to be very American. But trust me. This bleeds American. If you cut the arm of this film, it's not bleeding red. It is bleeding red and white stripes with a blue section at the end. It's just pure American. Some people might give this, how many stars is there in the American flag? 52?
I believe so. I could be wrong, though. Ugh, why would you have to put me on the spot like that?
Yeah, see, I'm a Canadian, so I can get this wrong, but, you know. Some people might give this 52 stars, but I'm
there
I'm,
should be 52 stars because there's 52 states.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Some people might give this 52 stars. I'm leaning more towards a 2.5 star for myself, but man, this is the American film. If you ever honestly, if there's aliens out here listening to this film, listening to this podcast, and they're like, huh, I hear a lot about this US of A. I wonder what it's like to be living in this country of theirs. Just look no further than Born on the 4th of July. This is the all-American white man's dream. Well, not really dream, because, you know, the guy did not have a great life. But this is just a slice of the American life here.
Slice of the American pie.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. This is the American pie on the dinner table here. So we can discuss the nominations it got. Believe it or not, it got a lot more than Field of Dreams, which Field of Dreams got barely any, so I guess it makes sense. But this got the second most nominations for this Academy, well, for the year. And that would be Best Picture, obviously, Lead Actor for Tom Cruise, Cinematography, Score, Sound, Adapted Screenplay, and it won Editing and Directing. So we got a lot of awards here. Sorry, got a lot of noms here. Two wins under its belt. Andrew, what were your thoughts on Born on the 4th of July?
So I realized in the beginning it was a war film. And I wasn't super hyped because I've watched a couple other war films lately. Like, we watched Platoon recently, which is funny because this is done by the same director. So they were a little similar, just with, like, the war scenes and whatnot. And basically, it also has Tom Cruise. And I'm not the biggest Tom Cruise fan. He just had a lot of elements that I really wasn't meshing with. And then, even at the end, they try to bring in, like, the political point of view, and I'm just like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And the whole time, I'm thinking that once he comes back from the war, he's gonna basically teach himself to walk again. Yeah, completely throw that out the window. That is not even what happens. I was wanting this, like, that's why I thought it was going to be, like, a feel-good film, and he was gonna, like, reteach himself to walk at the end of the war, but no.
Yeah, there's very little I like about this movie, to be honest. The first 15-20 minutes is pretty much Oliver Stone, the director, shoving an American dick in your mouth because it's just 1,000 American flags in the background. And it's got the 4th of July parade, it's got soldiers, it's got, oh wow, this is awesome, I'm Tom Cruise, and this is America, and it's very, yeah, we're the best, and all this heroic music every time you see a flag in the background. If I ever do watch this again, I will play the game where every scene, I want to see if there's an American flag. I think every scene in this film has one in the background somewhere. Like, they pretty much bought the entire inventory on American flags for this film because it's just full of it. And yeah, it's just very pro-America, which is fine. But like, Field of Dream also felt very American Dream-esque. And that was perfect. It was a perfect, like, I was watching Field of Dream going, yeah, this is the American Dream. This is a very happy, fun film. I kind of wished I was American because they all seem like they're having a great time out there. The baseball scenes in Field of Dreams is just great baseball scenes. In the 10 minutes into Born on the 4th of July, the baseball scene has like 20 American flags and heroic music every time an American hit the baseball. And it was like, oh my gosh, is this like a promo for the immigrants to move up there? Like, the entire film is like, we're American and you're gonna fucking love us. It was very, very headstrong. It's shocking that this won directing because I didn't like the directing style of this film. I felt like it was very too patriotic. It was very in your face about this whole story. Oliver Stone is the same guy that directed Platoon, which came out 3 years before this one. And it really feels like he looked at all of his Oscars and went, wow, I won a lot of Oscars for this film, Platoon. Let's just do it again. And we're just going to ramp up the Americanness of it. Like, we did great last time. Let's do another war film. Fuck yeah, let's do that. Let's get some known actors like William Dafoe again.
Let's get William Dafoe again. This dude up in here, yeah.
Yeah, Oliver Stone just looked at all of his Oscars the last 3 years ago and shit, let's do this again. This worked great.
Did The Platoon win a ton of Oscars?
I'm pretty sure it won directing and best picture at least, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So yeah, it does just feel like he went, well, I got 2 or 3 Oscars from that one. Why not do it again? And you know what? It worked.
What did he win from this one? Like what?
Directing and editing. So
he won 2 more.
There you go. He won 2 more. Yeah. So Oliver Stone is loving life right now. Totally paid off for him. Did not pay off for me. I didn't really like this film at all. I actually think it's funny because this feels like the opposite of Field of Dreams, where the first 40 minutes of this film was not good. It was very, we're America, we're at war, we're playing baseball, we got flags, we got parades, we're the best. And then after the 40-minute mark, when he comes home from the war, the film starts getting really interesting.
A lot better. I didn't like the scenes where he's in the hospital at all.
Yeah, the hospital, the war scenes, his childhood scenes. No offense, Tom Cruise, but I hated your childhood. It was ridiculous. It was too American Dream-esque. I'm Canadian. I don't need the American Dream. I need the Canadian Dream. Where's all the maple syrup? But
polar bears.
Yeah, the first 40 minutes I didn't like. But yes, when he comes home from the war, he lost his ability to walk, and he's now seeing his family again. That was great. I thought him coming home from the war, all that's great. And then I also love how it's so Americanized, American Dream-esque, and he kind of starts spiraling down this hill of, wow, this is not the American Dream. My life sucks now because of this. I liked where that was going, how it's so in your face about America. And then he kind of realizes, this isn't the dream. This isn't what I wanted. I liked that.
Which is really funny because I honestly feel like he has a brother in the film that is very anti-war. I don't know if he's kind of like a hippie or what, but him and his brother get into it. And I think that's kind of what got the ball like started rolling in his head. Like, wow, this really does suck, because during the argument, his brother brings up like, look what it did to you. Like, this is awful. And he's like, what do you mean? And I don't know. I think that kind of just put the idea in Tom Cruise's character's head.
Yeah, at that point, he's still delusional. He's still thinking to himself, I'm a hero. I'm awesome. What are you talking about, bro? I'm American. Do you see this flag behind me? I'm America.
America.
What are you talking about? What's wrong with me? I'm a hero, yo. I'm an American hero. Yeah, he doesn't even realize, I can't walk. I literally ruined my life for America. Like, it's still, like, this delusion in his head. Well, not really delusion. It's still, you know, it's great to serve your country, and he was an amazing guy for doing it. But I also thought it was interesting how, yeah, he even said that he first got shot in the foot, and he could have just laid there. He got injured. He literally could have just laid on the floor, and nobody would have judged him. He would have still been a hero. But he was just in this mindset of, I'm an American hero. America! I see that flag behind me. Every scene of this film, I'm American. I gotta keep fighting. Like he just, and then that ruined his ability to walk. And he said that was his biggest mistake of just, when he laid there, he could have laid there. And he would have still been at home as an American hero, and he could have walked. But he ruined that ability when he got up that second time. And I thought that was probably the best part of the film, when he had that realization by the fire. I thought that was a really good scene. And yeah, this film does have good moments. But yeah, the first 40 minutes sucked, and I thought the 4-year time jump was just ridiculous.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's funny. Field of Dreams. First 40 minutes were awesome. The rest of it sucked, except the last 10 minutes. And this is reverse. First 40 minutes sucked for this one. Then the rest was pretty solid. I liked the story of him coming to a realization on what defines the American dream. That's interesting. And then the last 10 minutes, it has a four-year time jump where he writes a book. He is back to living the American dream. So all the lessons he has now learned is kind of like, yeah, whatever. He's a hero again. We love him again. And now he's running for president, and it becomes so political, which back then is probably why it was getting a bunch of nominations. This was probably very timely. it just doesn't age well for us because we're not living during that political climate. That doesn't affect us nowadays. Is that really a topic for now? I feel like it hasn't aged well.
No, and I completely agree with you with how it was definitely a flip from watching Field of Dreams. I had a couple good moments in the film. One that I really liked was they come up, and I guess this also gave me Platoon vibes when I saw it, because I sat down and started watching it with Quentin about this time. But they come up on this little village that they have completely shot down. They've killed all these people, and the only one that's alive is this little baby, and it is just crying. And it gets, like, stuck in this guy's head. And then when he goes back, he's in the middle of giving a speech about, you know, how he's a veteran, how America's great and everything. And all he can hear in this crowd is this little baby crying. And he literally gets, like, almost PTSD because he hears this little baby. And I just thought that was a really good moment. I really liked that. And then also, there's another scene, and I don't know if you liked it, but he basically comes home drunk, and he is just, like, after his mom, because he says that his mom is the one that put these ideas in his head growing up, how, you know, he needs to be patriotic, he needs to go fight for his country. And I thought that scene was super powerful, because she is just bawling. I like that scene as well, besides the fact that he said he's going to pull his erect penis out in front of his mother. That was a little inappropriate, but yeah.
Yeah, a little weird, especially when all of his yeah. younger siblings were watching.
And his dad's like pushing him back, get back in your bedroom.
Yeah, he was kind of like, come on, little Timmy, look at my penis. I'm going to whip it out right now. Yeah. The ending was a little weird for that scene. But once again, I do like that scene because obviously he was drunk. He wheels himself into the house. And it's just this realization to him that it's not my fault that I wanted to be this American hero, that I wanted to live the American dream, because my family and just America in itself as like a society, we kept having all these implications that we're American, we need to represent our country, we're the best, we need to do what's best for everybody, like that's just the heroic thing to do. So it was just kind of society putting this pressure and this idea in his head that he needs to fight tooth and nail and end up losing his legs for nothing. And so that is a powerful moment. The ending was a bit weird for that scene, but it's good. Well,
and then I was gonna say, actually, the actual ending of that is then his dad puts him in bed and he's just like, he's like, no one's ever gonna love me, dad. He's like, who's gonna love me? I'm paralyzed. And it's really sad. It was a little emotional, I felt.
Yeah, well, little does Tom Cruise know that all the girls love him. He's fine. He's living his best life.
Oh, yeah. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, so, you know, that's pretty much the whole film. I don't got too much to say about it. For me, it is relatively uninteresting. There's a few interesting scenes about what happened to his life and how the American dream kind of affected him. I do like that part of it and just how war in general, you get this mindset that you're doing a great thing, but overall, they don't really remember you and you're really risking your life. Like, it's really, it doesn't have that many pros, which, you know, I think now it's kind of like, well, duh. Obviously, the war doesn't have duds. Obviously, the war doesn't have many pros. Like, I feel like it's more, maybe just up here in Canada is just more common knowledge. Like, well, obviously that sucks. But I imagine everybody knows, yeah, war suck. Like, yeah, there's nothing good about it. There's nothing heroic about going out to war and murdering people, right? Yeah, maybe that concept doesn't age as well now. I don't know if it was only 30 years ago, right? I don't know if back in 1989, if that was still a concept for Americans. Would you know, obviously, you wouldn't have grown up with that atmosphere in 1989. But do you know if your family, maybe the older folks, kind of have that mindset of, hey, going off to war is a heroic deed?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, my grandpa was in the Navy, but other than that, I really don't think I had any family that was in the military.
Yeah, so I don't know if that concept just has kind of fallen by the wayside, and maybe this film, due to its topic, hasn't aged as well. But yeah, I just didn't really get, it wasn't some big reveal to me that he realized war suck. I was kind of like, well, yeah. Yeah, they do. Thank you for letting me know. But yeah, the first 40 minutes were painful. I was ready to kind of just walk out and be like, all right, that's it, Andrew. Do this podcast on your own. I'm out. I'm not watching the rest of this.
Well, it wouldn't have got done then.
Because it's 2.5 hours long. It's a long film. And then the ending really dropped the ball for me. So really the anti-Field of Dreams. I'm glad we kind of watched these together.
Yeah. I like them. I mean, I didn't like them, but I like that we paired these two together. And yeah, they both had pros and they both had cons.
All right, so we can discuss some of the nominations it got. Tom Cruise, he was nominated for lead actor. He did not win. But what was your thoughts on Tom Cruise here for being nominated?
You know, I will say this. I do not like Tom Cruise. I really rarely like anything he's ever been in. But for his acting, I feel like this was probably one of the best films I've ever seen him in. And I mean, that's not saying a ton, but he did do really well. He got really into the role. And, you know, I think he should have at least been acknowledged for that. I don't know if did he get nominated for Best Actor or no? Or
yeah, that's why I said Best Actor, yeah.
Okay, fair.
Which, yeah, I'm not a huge Tom Cruise guy. Mostly just because I have no issue with the guy, really. I just don't like action adventure films, and that's pretty much all Tom Cruise does, so I just don't watch any movies that he's in. But he was good in this. I really liked him. Definitely was deserving of Best Actor. I don't know the other nominees. Just from this film alone, I'm almost willing to say he even deserved to win. I thought he was very strong. He was definitely the best part of the film. His slow spiral into just madness of just his life. I thought he was great. So I'll give him that. So what was your thoughts on the score here? Both films nominated for score. Which film did you think had the better score?
I didn't really like either of them. I don't know which one had the better one. Field of Dreams was too loud, and Born on the 4th of July was just too patriotic. No, I don't know. It was just not as loud, but I don't know.
I will say this. I think Born on the 4th of July had a much better score. I still didn't love it. I thought it was very generic, sad music, kind of like a cheap way to make people get emotional. But when Tom Cruise returned home from the war and he met his family for the first time after the war, Andrew started tearing up during that scene. And I am about 90% confident it was because of the score in that scene, because it was very over-the-top, sad music. I thought it was very kind of like generic, sad music. But for the scene it was in, it did work, because I thought it kind of helped make you get very emotional to that scene. Because, yeah, the score really helped there.
And the mother was also, she's very emotional in that scene, too. Actually, the lady that played the actress was really good. Played his mother, sorry.
Yeah, she was okay. I didn't really like her.
Yeah.
Very few of the characters were good to me except for Tom Cruise. That might be another issue for myself. I didn't really like anyone else. I thought most other people were pretty boring.
Did you like William Dafoe before you realized it was William Dafoe?
No, I didn't really like him either. And I like William Dafoe.
I didn't really like him either. But then I realized it's William Dafoe and I was like, my boy.
Yeah, I love William Dafoe. I'm a big Dafoe stan here. But
yeah.
Might be one of my least favorite performances of his. Like, overall, it's fine. But, like, for him, I didn't really like it. It might be his worst, actually, because he's in a lot of good stuff. So what about the screenplay? They're both nominated for screenplay. For me, similar to the score, they both weren't very good. And I think I might give it to Field of Dreams. I don't know. Honestly, they both weren't very good, so it's a draw for me.
Yeah, no, they were not very good. I think I would end up giving it to Field of Dreams.
I might be backing out on this. I might actually give it to Born on the 4th of July just because of the speech he gave to his mother in that one scene. Like, that was a pretty strong speech. Yeah. So I thought the screenplay has its moments. but it's just, you know, it's all over the place, kind of like Field of Dreams. So the other nominations that this film got was directing, editing, which it won both, and it was also nominated for cinematography. What was your thoughts on those? I think the cinematography was pretty solid at times. So sure, nomination, but no win. Fine by me. That seems fair.
Yeah, I like actually would have gave it to Born on the 4th of July for this. I really like this one scene, and I even pointed it out to you where the sky was a really nice orangey color, and you could see all the silhouettes of the soldiers, and I was like, oh, this is actually, you know, pretty good, pretty solid in what it's showing me.
I really like that scene, and I also like the editing for that scene, because what we see is when he's actually in war, all the soldiers are walking down the battle lines, and you see this gorgeous orange color behind them, a beautiful shot. And then near the end of the film, when he is just reflecting on the horrors of his life, we get the exact same shot where the soldiers are walking down the battle line, but instead of this gorgeous orange color, it's gray. And it's like he no longer looks at that past as being a great moment for him. Like back then, he was living the American dream. When he was on the battlefronts, it's probably his mind like, wow, gorgeous color, sunset, we're out in war, we are heroes, we're awesome, we're American. And then when he's reflecting on it, it's this dull gray color, it's colorless, it's horrible, and it's just not a good moment in his history anymore. So I thought that was really cool with the editing for that shot, which it won editing. The editing's better than Field of Dreams, so maybe it's the best. We'll have to see what the other ones are. I don't think it was that great, but the editing definitely is pretty good at times.
Better than Driving Miss Daisy.
I kind of forget that film. I blocked that film out. I can't wait till we watch it again.
Oh my gosh.
And then the final one here, directing, which it won. It pretty much won because it's got Oliver Stone's name attached to it. Absolutely. I think they were like, well, his directing in Platoon was really good. You know what? It was so good. Let's give him 2 Oscars for that. We like this guy. I think it's fine. It's good. Probably better. Yeah, no, definitely better than Field of Dreams directing wise. But like, it's. As you can tell, we're not huge Born on the 4th of July fans. All right. Well, before we wrap it up here, do you remember the storyboard that we discussed way back when we were talking about the Best Picture winner Going My Way?
Okay,
so back when we discussed Going My Way, we discussed how it was nominated for Best Original Story. So it's nominated for Adaptive Screenplay and Original Story, which didn't really make much sense. I tried to figure out what Original Story meant as an award, and there's not much information on it. Nobody knows what that award ever really was. I looked at Reddit threads, I tried to figure it out. And so my theory and what I've read online was it's pretty much just the overall story. Like just a quick 1-2 sentence description of this film. What is this film? And then we played our own 1-2 minute sentence description of the story Going My Way. And we said this could be a new thing on the podcast where after every film, we're going to discuss what is the film's storyboard. What's the film's 1-2 sentence story? So, Andrew, do you got your 1-2 sentence story for Field of Dreams? Describe this film to me. We're in an elevator. What's your elevator pitch for Field of Dreams?
Guy hears voice. Guy makes a baseball film. Guy solves life problems.
Oh, that was like 3 sentences.
Oh, I thought you said I could do 3.
You can do however many you want.
Oh, okay. I was trying to make it short. I thought it'd be like a fun short thing.
Yeah, it is a fun short thing. Yeah, no, yeah, that's pretty good. You did a pretty good one for the guy. So I'll just go in the villain's mindset. Guy really wants to make corn. Then he just changes his mind. There you go. That's my story for it.
Wow.
All right, so Born on the 4th of July. Mine would be, we love America. Now we don't like it as much. There, that's my story. All right, what's your storyboard for it?
All right, I would say Guy goes to fight in the war. Guy gets paralyzed. Guy realizes war is bad.
There you go. I like how your story is always three sentences starting with the word guy.
It's well, a good if it was a lady, then I'd have to say lady.
A lady, okay. Well, I can't wait till we get to Driving Miss Daisy then. All right, so there you go. That's our storyboard for these two films. We both are on Letterboxd, where we review and write all the films. So, Andrea.
Please add me. I'm almost at 500 followers. Just wanted to say that.
Oh, very nice. Hey, you can follow her at Andrea Lizard Emoji. All right, so Andrea, what are you going to be giving Field of Dreams?
So, I really like this film growing up, but rewatching it, I realize a lot of it doesn't really make sense, and I think that kind of lowers what I would have originally gave it, and I'm thinking I will probably give it a 3-star.
Oh, wow. Well, we're at the same score here. I was going to give it a 3.
Sweet.
Wow. I feel like now it should be a 2.5. I feel like you're way higher on it.
You always feel like you should be lower than my score.
Yeah, because you always feel like you're higher on stuff, but then we always end up giving it the same score. Yeah. Born on the 4th of July, maybe you'll be lower on it than me, because I am pretty close with both films. They both got things I like, and they both got things I don't like. So Born on the 4th of July is a 2.5. I do like it less, and there's a lot of stuff that I liked less about it than in Field of Dreams, because at the end of the day, I walked out of Field of Dreams with a grin on my face, and I was feeling great, and I walked out of Born on the 4th of July thinking, well, that ending sucked. That was a waste of time. Like I walked out less excited. So 2.5.
It was very disappointing. Like I said, I wanted the guy to be able to walk again. He seemed so like determined that he would learn to walk again. And then when I saw 4 years later, I was like, oh, it's coming. That he's gonna be able to walk then. And it didn't happen. I was really let down. So, honestly, I'm going to either be a 2 or a 2.5.
Oh, look at that. So, yeah, might have the same score. I guess we'll wait and see.
Guess.
All right. Well, that is it for this podcast. Pretty low on both of them.
Yeah.
But I'm more excited for the upcoming podcast because we will be discussing My Left Foot and, of course, Dead Poets Society, which I think are going to be the two best of the year. We'll have to see.
Dead Poets Society is definitely, I have high hopes for that. It has my boy Robin Williams in it, which I am pumped about.
Yeah, and although Tom Cruise couldn't walk with his left foot, I can't. So I will probably like My Left Foot a lot more than Tom Cruise would.
Very punny.
So Tom Cruise got shot on one of the feet. Do you think it was his left foot?
Probably. It probably was.
That'd be pretty funny. But I don't know anything about My Left Foot. I just like feet, so I'm sure I will like it.
He loves feet. Yeah, I can't get my feet off of him. He's always wanting to touch him.
In all seriousness, I hate feet. But
no, he literally.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He gets mad at me if I touch him with my feet. So
I just don't like feet. But
no.
I will like my left foot. Maybe it'll make me like feet more. I'll have an appreciation towards them afterwards. We'll see. But I'm excited for these two. I think we'll be a lot higher on them. So if you guys like to hear us bitch about stuff, probably just skip the next one and go straight to Driving Miss Daisy. But if you like us talking highly on stuff, then yeah, probably check the next one out. I'm excited. Yeah, we got these two stinkers out of the way. All right, anything you want to say, Andrea, before we close these two films, you know, for a month before we bring them back for the ceremony?
I really don't have anything else to add. I literally think I talked about everything I needed to cover here.
All right. Well, we covered everything. We will see you guys next, or in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.